Okay, so here's the model. So you take so the space is, I'll call it lambda. So you can think of it as a finite set, or for the purpose of this talk, I'll just think of it as a countably infinite set. So just some countably infinite set. So on this set lambda, the particles will move at a rate aij. So particles will migrate from psi I to j in lambda at rate aij. The particles will branch at a rate b. So they'll branch into two particles. So each particle will branch two particles at rate b. And the particles will coalesce. So a pair of particles at site I will coalesce at rate C, and the last parameter is they can also die, so they die independently at rate. So particles die at rate d below equal. So my particles live on this set. on the set lambda, and they'll migrate rate A. I'll have some assumptions on A, like for example, I'll think of it as irreducible. You can move around. I'll have a transitivity condition, so something like, because I'm on a countably infinite set, I'd like to have these assumptions. And just for the purpose of this talk, I'll assume it's symmetric, but I don't need it for the results. It just gets notation a little bit more complicated, so I'll just think of it as symmetric. So this is just for this talk. So the process I'll work with, so it's called, let's say I think of XTI as the number of particles at psi I. And so I just keep calling XT as my A, B, C, D, four parameters involved. So instead of calling it branching coalescing, I just call it Bracco. That's my model. So these particles move around, they branch and they coalesce. So some of the examples you should keep in mind while we do this is so lambda is like, so you can think of lambda as, you know, some examples are, so you can think of lambda as, you know, the lattice or the tree what's typical in biological applications is the hierarchical group of order n. I won't go and describe that, but some examples to keep in mind are models like this. So it may not be amenable like Zn. It can be like a tree, or it can be any countably infinite set. Yeah, so I'll explain all that. Yeah, right. So in a second. So you can start it at finitely many particles or infinitely many particles. I'll describe the results that way. Yeah. It'll matter. Yeah. So let me just discuss the motivation briefly. So these are actually part of reaction diffusion systems. So this is a special case of a reaction diffusion system. I think goes way back to I don't know how to pronounce this name, but yeah. So, in 1972. So, and this is an example of a reaction diffusion system, and this has been widely studied in the physics literature substantially. So it's a special case of that. So in this system, you can have higher order branching as well, so and higher order coalescence as well. So it has received a substantial interest in the literature, in the physics literature, and it's just beginning. Kind of, there has been spotted interest in the probability side. So among the papers in the probability side is a paper by Ding, Juret, and Liggett in 1990, and then there's a paper by Mountford in 1992, and Neuhauser in 1990 as well. So one thing crucial about these articles is that it's mainly focused on Zn. So the lambda is Zn. So here I'm not assuming anything about the structure of the set. So second thing which I won't discuss very for long is it is a model for population dynamics, and so there are some comparisons with the results you can make with the contact process. So I won't, when I see the results, one thing to keep in mind is see what's happening in the contact process setting, and then we sort of kind of compare here somewhere the other. The third one, which I will definitely use, is kind of the, so this is related to this resampling mutation and selection process. Let me see, how do I say this? So I think of a process chi. I'll write out the law of chi. So chi lives on this space, and it satisfies an SDE. So this is like a Fisherite SDE. So chi t of I pretty long SDEs, I'll write it down. I think it's important to write it down, so I'll write it down. I guess you can kind of see it. So what's happening here is that this chi is a sort of a, you could think of it as your population has, let's say, two types of genes, healthy and defective. And what happens is they migrate at this rate clock A, ij, on the set lambda. And what you do is, at rate B, you know, a particle will look down and select another particle. And if it's defective and you're healthy, you'll make that healthy as well. And then there's a D is, can be interpreted as mutation, and C as resampling in the population. And if you look at the relative frequencies of the healthy genes, they rescale to this SDE. Yeah, this chi. Say it again? How's that? Is that okay?
I just meant that, you know, the D is a constant.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah. D. I don't know. It's a parameter, right? So there is an interpretation for the SDE, and it has a relation to my the process I'm going to work with. And I'll explain to you how it's related in a second. But if you're in the super process world, it just falls out because it's kind of a dual for this one. So one thing to, before I start presenting the main results is to think about various things. Like, suppose D was just zero, let's say, so there's no independent depth, then all the particles will, the sim will never die out. It'll always come to one, and then it'll grow up again, right? So only if D is positive will the system die out, right? Has a chance of dying out. Keep that in mind. If D is zero, there's sort of a nice trick, nice calculation one can do and try and construct a reversible invariant measure for this process. I just showed it in the end, but it's not something that you can play with for a while. But if D is positive, the model becomes more interesting in a significant way. Let me just go and present the results. So let me just leave some notation up for the time being. So I'll think of phi as and psi as elements in 0, 1, lambda. I'll think of x in I'll explain. So it's not quite n lambda, but I'll just come back and explain what this is. But I'll think of phi x, I'll write phi x, but what I mean is this product over I, phi of I, x I. And I'll think of phi psi as just sort of the inner product of phi and psi. So here's theorem one. So this is mainly a tool for studying these processes. So I think of X as my ABCD, my coalescing system. I think of chi as my ABCD again. So it's resampling, selection, and mutation. So I'll just call it a resam process. Living on these various spaces. So the first is a duality between X and chi. So you can think of it as EX of 1 minus phi to the XT is the same as E at starting at phi of 1 minus chi T at the point X. So duality between X, T, and chi in this fashion. The second thing is that this probably kind of was well known in some ways was that this process is self-dual. So in the following sense, so I take C positive, kind of crucial for self-duality. So I expected value of E to the minus B over C chi T psi starting at phi is the same as minus B over C phi at chi T tilde starting at psi. So the chi process is self-dual. And the third, one is duality between X and chi, which I'll use substantially in the results. And the other one is self-duality between within chi itself. And the last one is that so you can write this up in a Poissonization type of form. You can say if I start off with a Poisson law for X, that's the same as starting at phi, or if you Poissonize and look at chi. So, this is kind of a natural way of looking at this, even though it's notationally cumbersome, but I don't know if I'll get into why I want this in this format, but it'll come in a second. One thing to look about how you get this duality is the following. So if you believe my interpretation as chi being the relative frequency of healthy genes, right? This expectation here is just the I'm sampling X particles from the system, I'm seeing the proportional of defective genes, right? That's all I'm looking at. If you look at this notation right here, that's exactly what I'm doing right here. And all I'm doing is I'm just looking back in time, so I'd look back at all the ancestors, and if the ancestor was defective, then these guys will all be defective, right? But if I look back at the process, all I'll get back is a branching coalescing system, which is exactly what I get on this slide. That's kind of the intuitive idea why. Another thing to note is that the system, if C was 0, right, if C was 0, this SDE becomes deterministic. Right? So that's fairly well known that the semigroup of the branching parting system is just a PDE. Right? But if C is positive, then the semigroup is kind of random. So that's probably well known quite some time, I think. So, but this is a kind of a tool that we'll use to study this model. So the second result is that so there is a like someone asked me a question of how do I start my system. So I actually don't start it in n lambda. So there's a space called, so I start my particles in, I won't go into this, it's a special place, space called a Liggett-Spitzer space, where you have this, you have the summation condition where these gamma I are summable. So potentially your xi could sum up to be infinite, but as long as they are in that space, it's kind of, that's where I start my particles from. So once I start my particles in that space, I can think of what's called a maximal process.
I'm sorry, but
yeah.
What's your thoughts on
maximization? Yeah, so that's just, I'm just calling this relationship as Poissonization, right?
What did you say?
I'm just calling this relationship as Poissonization, right? Okay, this is just a Poisson random measure with intensity BC over phi.
Okay.
So I'm starting with that law on this side. That's all, yeah. So there is one maximal process. I claim that. So I'll call that x infinity of t. So with t positive, there is a process like this. So it's a Markov process on this Liggett-Spitzer space. And it has the following properties. So one is for every epsilon xt t bigger than equal epsilon is an ABCD Bracco starting at x infinity epsilon. Okay. So I'll explain why the infinity is in a second. And this has a moment condition like this, so its mean is bounded. So I have an explicit bound like R. And then R is given by since it's maximal, the way I think of what maximal is that I say that, so I take, say, xn, so these are all my ABCD Bracco processes starting at x, let's say little xn in my Liggett Spitzer space, and I have xni approaching infinity for every I in lambda, then what happens is that the laws of xnt increase to the laws of x infinity. So it's kind of my biggest process in time. So again, for t positive. The fourth thing is, so I'm going to call this measure as an upper Riemann measure. So I'll explain what upper is in a second. So there exists an upper invariant measure, mu bar, such that, you know, the laws of x infinity just come down to that measure, okay, as t goes to infinity. So here it's n going to infinity. So by upper invariant measure means I just think of it as an invariant measure for my process. Any other invariant measure is dominated by this measure. So that's what I mean by upper invariant measure. So it's kind of the largest invariant measure. So any other invariant measure is dominated by nu bar in a particular order. And because of this dual, I can characterize the invariant measure. So I can think of it as, I mean, this is just, once you look at the dual, it's kind of like, if you look at this, if you play with this number 3, you can characterize it as I think it's okay, yeah. R is just that. Right. It's just an artifact of the calculation. So suppose B was equal to D, I would just exactly this, right, for the normal coalescing one. I don't think it measures anything. Yeah, it looks intuitively, yeah, you think you want minus C there, but it is plus C. So I can characterize my upper invariant measure by some sort of, you know, survival probability of chi. The final result I want to present is an ergodic result for this, for the system, in the following form. Like, so I won't explain these terms, but the terms I'm writing down, but you should just think of it as lambda Zn, and when I mean homogeneous, I mean translation invariance in some way. So I'm writing an ergodic theorem here. So since my lambda is like a general set, so there's a way you can define lambda A to be homogeneous. And then, so again here I'm assuming C to be positive. C is 0, it's a different picture. And then if G is a transitive subgroup of, of the automorphisms of lambda A, let's see if I have time at the end of the talk to explain these two terms, but broadly speaking, just think of it as a standard thing you make for an ergodic theorem. You have a translation invariant structure in some way. So the first result is that you start with the homogeneous non-trivial measure, you're going to go up to the nu bar. Okay. So So one thing is clear, like delta zero if all sites had zero particles, nothing would happen to the system, it would stay there. That would be one invariant measure, and one translation invariant measure in some way, and I'm going to claim that the other one is just the top one. So the way I'll say it is that, so let XT be an ABCD Bracco process starting at, so at a G homogeneous non-trivial initial law. So start with a non-trivial initial law, the only thing you can do is go up. So then the law of XT will converge weakly to the upper invariant measure. The second result which you can get from 3 for the dual process is the same thing. So you let chi be an ABCD resampling selection mutation process, and starting at a G homogeneous non-trivial initial law, then it'll go to its corresponding upper invariant measure. That you can read off from 3, but you can't go from 2 to 1. So you'll have to prove 1 somehow. Since I'm almost out of time, I'll spend the next minute sort of just kind of saying where this stands in literature in some way. This process has been studied earlier by Shiga and Uchiyama in 86. And they showed this result, number 2, in the case when lambda is Zn. So when the graph was Zn, they showed this weak convergence. This theorem has again been studied for lambda is Zn, and again, the symmetric case, in various papers, but this is one such paper studied this. And so again, they have a similar result like this. But again, their techniques use amenability of the set lambda in some way, where the surface areas and the volumes kind of compare. But because I'm playing with a dual, I'm working with an SDE in some way, the tools are required are different from required there. So structure really doesn't matter that much. Yeah, I think I'll stop. Yeah.